Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 85 of Growth Marketing Today. I'm your host, Ramley John, and I'm here on a mission to help marketers and founders like you sharpen their marketing skills by talking to some of today's top experts. Today I have Andrew Michaels. He is the business intelligence manager at Hotjar. He is also the host of Churn.fm podcast. Now, in the real world, tackling churn and increasing retention is one of the hardest problems a subscription business faces. It's a company-wide effort across multiple roles and requires a team to come together with a coherent strategy to tackle that problem head-on. So in this episode, Andrew shares lessons he's learned from his experience and also discussion with growth marketers from HubSpot, Wistia, Basecamp, and more who are focusing on tackling churn. So in episode 85, you'll learn first, why churn is a big problem for companies and how to identify its symptoms. Second, how to align different teams to tackle the churn problem. And third, how retention is often more important than customer acquisition. Before we jump in, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. These folks helped cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Thank you for the sponsor for this episode, Referral Rock. It's a SaaS that helps businesses like yours unlock all the referrals you are missing out on. So stop waiting for word of mouth to just happen while letting those precious referral opportunities go to waste. Find out more at referralrock.com/grow today, or you can find that link in the description to start a free trial or get a consultative demo. Stay tuned to hear more about Referral Rock later in the episode and the special offer they are giving you today. And if you're interested in getting an ad-free version of this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/grow today to become part of my Patreon supporters. You get each episode at least one day before anybody else. You also get access to a private Slack group and also have video AMA calls with me if you'd like. Go to patreon.com/grow today or find that link in the description to support the show. Well, enough about this. Let's jump into my chat with Andrew. Hey everybody, I'm excited to chat here with Andrew. He works at Hotjar, but he also is a fellow podcaster. You know, I love podcasters. They're my people. We know how hard it is to put this together and set it up. How's it going, Andrew? Where are you calling from this morning?
Yeah, it's actually evening for me. And Ramley, thanks so much. As you know, like a fellow podcaster as well, yeah, I totally understand what it takes to make this happen. So I really, really appreciate the invite to the show. I'm actually in Cyprus today, just close to Greece in the Mediterranean.
Great. That's very exotic. I'm jealous because I'm in Toronto and it's raining and it's snowing. It's raining and snowing, so I'm really confused. Yeah. I've got to go visit Cyprus someday. But
absolutely.
I'm excited to chat with you with a lot of the stuff that you're working on. But I love asking how you got started with Hotjar and also with Churn.fm, because I find stories are fascinating and I always thought that it was linear to become a certain position in a company. But I find a lot of people it's nonlinear, like it goes zigzag. But I'm curious, how did you get into Hotjar and starting Churn.fm as a podcast?
Yeah. So exactly as you mentioned, like things aren't typically linear anymore and you move around from quite a bit. So actually prior to Hotjar, I had built four different startups, managed to sell a couple of them, but not for much money. And one of the reasons was the churn and retention was an issue for the company that I had previously built. So the podcast angle was really about me trying to understand the problem inside out, knowing, and it was one of the biggest killers, and seeing how sort of the subscription economy was really booming. I felt this was a really, really interesting topic to dive into. And I ended up at Hotjar because the company that we are previously founded was actually one of the advisors was David Dominan, who is our CEO at Hotjar. And he basically said, why don't you come join us? You can see how things have been done at a company that's doing things right. And yes, they are doing things very right. And it was an opportunity to come in and learn before getting ready to start something else again when and if in the future I decide to go at it.
That's really cool. It's great that David was open to you just coming in, really learning about the stuff here. You mentioned about how in the subscription business that churn is such a big problem. You know, why do you care? Why do you care so much about churn? And in general, why should marketers care about it?
Yeah. So I think from my perspective, the reason being is like I really as well, when I want to build my next company, I don't want this to be an issue again. Trying to learn from the past mistakes and really just being able to have a good grasp of it and a good understanding. And also because like I was fed up and hearing sort of people saying that we figured out this magic metric and we solved churn, because in actuality, it's such a nuanced problem that's impacted by so many different influences from different stages of the company to size to market you're going after, and you can just go on in terms of the way that the problem is solved. So the motivation as well there was really just trying to get to the bottom of that. And then for marketers, why I think it's a critical metric to be following is because churn is really the anti-growth in a subscription business. And if your goal is to try and grow and expand the company, your biggest lever that you can pull for growth is actually going to be retention, because it drives acquisition loops, it helps drive monetization, it builds up competitive muscle when it comes to sort of the acquisition channels that you're going after, and it also accelerates the payback period in which you get that money back from your investment you make into paid channels. So it really, really is the biggest lever for growth you can pull.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's something that I think people, especially in SaaS, are starting to realize more and more, is that you can't really just focus on the top of the funnel and acquisition if, you know, you have people exiting through the back end. I'm curious about that specific example that you have, the startup. What was that startup and how big was the churn problem for you to realize it was a problem?
Yeah. So the first company that was a big issue was, it was called Funify, and really it was about gamifying household chores and trying to instill sort of behaviors within kids to encourage good behaviors of setting goals and achieving them. And for us, like one of the big reasons was that the product wasn't 10x better than the current solution. So already we had a big sort of product market fit to begin with, but we did end up acquiring over 100,000 families, so 200,000-300,000 users on the platform. And essentially, there was an issue with both sides of the platform as well, is that the one that once we actually managed to solve the problem, the app became obsolete as well on the other end. So there was numerous different issues that we did have that was a result of churn. And probably those issues are things you need to tackle first before you even trying to start to build a business around it in retrospect as well. So we try to jump the gun as well in terms of acquisition and trying to build up different channels before we really had a really strong product market fit. And I'd say like for retention, that's the number one place you need to be starting to think about. Like before you even go down any of the routes of trying to optimize or trying to fix things, is trying to understand, like, do you really have good product market fit, or do you still need to explore and experiment and test and potentially pivot?
I want to jump on that, particularly on calling out product market fit. That's one thing that you need before you really focus on more acquisition. But are there any other kind of clues that a company has a churn problem? What kind of like signifiers are you watching out for to say that the company has a problem with retention?
So, I mean, it's just a very, very obvious one is obviously the churn rate and at which rate customers are churning. But I think it's quite a difficult one to look at because it varies wildly by the type of business that you have, by the stage of business you have, by the customers that you're going after and the segment that you're attracting. So it's very difficult to sort of take a look at a benchmark and say, okay, we're doing well at this or we're not. You really need to get specific and nuanced in sort of if you're looking for a benchmark specifically. And then when it comes to churn as well, if you have a problem or not, it's often masked because it can be masked by high growth. If you're acquiring a lot more customers than you're losing, that sort of will churn and retention will look good in comparison to the growth that you're seeing. But as growth starts to slow down, and inevitably it typically does in most channels, become saturated, that's when you sort of see the tipping scales tip in, and then churn really starts to rise because you're not seeing that explosive growth that you did see in the early days, but churn hasn't particularly maybe even increased at all. It's just remained static. But now because the growth has stalled, churn starts to show itself. So it's something that can be easily masked by really strong growth as well. And that's why it's important to keep a good tab on it early on.
Let's talk about that, keeping on top of it. You talked about churn rate as a metric to watch out for. Are there any other things, and that's focused particularly on SaaS businesses, that you know people need to, marketers or founders need to be measuring to really get like a kind of a leading indicator that they're having a retention problem?
So, I mean, with retention as well, another thing to look at is the customer lifetime value. So how many months is the typical customer sticking around? What is the typical like average selling price or average revenue per account? These are really good indicators. And I think retention, if you think about it, is really that one metric that has an influence on all SaaS metrics. So if you're increasing retention, initially what you're doing is you're increasing the number of months people are staying with you. So ultimately you're increasing LTV. If you also can lower customer acquisition costs with increased retention because you're keeping more people around for longer. And if we look in the typical SaaS business, you see around 40% of users coming from word of mouth. The more users you're keeping around for longer, the more opportunities they have to talk about your product. So that ultimately brings down your customer acquisition costs. It also increases growth as a result of that viral word of mouth. So when you think about it, like retention has this impact to influence all these different metrics in the SaaS business. And you think about a sort of the single metric, if you want to sort of that North Star approach, it is probably one of the best metrics you can pick because of its big influence it has on a wide variety of SaaS metrics.
That's really interesting. One other thing that I'm finding, I've started working with this SaaS company and we've defined what active means. And I guess one of the leading indicators I'm finding is people who are not doing certain tasks on the product itself, they're more likely to churn off. So for example, let's say if I was looking at Photoshop or Adobe Suite, if somebody hasn't used the app for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, then they're probably going to leave if they're not finding value with the app itself, right?
And I think this is like churn retention. It's a really, really basic problem if you take it at its core. It's like somebody signed up for your product or service to try and get some value out of it at the end of it. They're trying to achieve a goal or solve a problem. And if they're not getting the value and they're not achieving that goal or solving that problem, they're ultimately going to churn. And yes, you'll get those dormant users who will continue to pay for a service who haven't realized. But ultimately, when they do realize that there's a line item that's been charged for the last 6 months and nobody's been using that tool is going out the door the minute somebody realizes. So it is definitely in terms of like when you're looking at it, you really need to be making sure that you not only looking at sort of the are people active, but how deep is that engagement as well. So retention is sort of like the core, but then engagement is really the depth. And then you really sort of see as well, typically in most SaaS businesses, the more engaged users are, the less likely they are to churn.
Is that what you're finding? It's like people, is that a good tactic to have to be a little bit more proactive? Like let's say, you know, somebody hasn't been using your app for 3 months, but you've talked to so many people in the churn podcast that you have. Is it a good idea to be like, hey, I noticed you haven't used our app for the last 2 to 3 months. What's up?
Absolutely. I think sort of reactivation campaigns are really interesting, and specifically from a marketing's perspective, because so more often than not, we think of sort of paid channels as an acquisition channel, where if you look at it, it's much cheaper to retain existing customers as it is opposed to acquiring new ones. And yet so few companies really use paid channels as a way to reactivate and re-engage with customers. So you'll try send an email and that email will be missed and never seen. A specific customer might have stopped using the product because they were interested in a specific feature you never had. If they've stopped following emails from you as well, they'll never know about that. So I think reactivation campaigns can be really, really powerful when they're thoughtful and strategic and really trying to understand the different channels and the best ways to reach your users. So not only just looks focusing on specific email as a reactivation campaign, but really thinking about, okay, how can we get in front of as many customers as possible that have been absent from the product to inform them of these updates or these changes or to try and get them back into the product.
That's all good. I want to talk about fixing churn. And I think the first thing that comes to mind, and you did mention it earlier, it's about who owns churn. Like there's so many, you know, when product and marketing and customer success owns something, sometimes kind of the ball kind of gets dropped. So in your experience and, you know, talking to all these growth folks in churn, where does churn typically get owned by and kind of become quarterbacked by?
I think this really depends on the stage of the company and the maturity and the typical sort of customer that companies are going after. So I think ultimately, though, like if I had to take an average around companies and just classify and bucket all SaaS businesses into one, typically, it's the customer success that gets this ownership in terms of like worrying about churn and retention and is the ultimate owner. But really, I think most companies and successful ones understand that it requires an alignment across the organization and it really needs to come from top down and bottom up. And everybody needs to be thinking about the challenge within their roles. Who ultimately reports on that is one thing, but really it isn't a metric that's influenced from marketing to product to customer success to support and even operations. And I can give you examples in many different ways. And I think maybe specifically for marketing's context is that if marketing is not bringing in the right customers through the door and they're just acquiring as many as possible, that's going to create a churn problem. If you're not positioning your product from a marketer's perspective in the right way and you over-promising and under delivering when it comes to the product side, that's going to create a churn problem. So there's many different ways that marketing itself has an influence on this. So for an organization to give this ownership to one specific team is also a very difficult challenge. And that's why it really comes down to sort of having that alignment, ultimately giving the ownership to one team, but making sure that all teams' goals are aligned with this metric and with retention in mind.
That's a good example with the marketing. If they're bringing in the wrong kind of people, then you know those people are going to end up churning. I listened to one of your episodes. It was with Eleanor Dorf, and she's the head of customer expansion at Segment. And she talked about how they improved their retention by adding actually friction to the onboarding. And almost every blog post I've read about onboarding is like, you got to remove friction. But for my listeners who haven't heard that episode, can you talk a little bit about why adding friction to the onboarding actually improved their retention?
Actually, that was one of the episodes I really loved. And one of the specific points is because I think, as you mentioned, like so many blog posts will highlight, okay, you need to remove friction as much as possible. You need to make it easy and streamlined. I also, similar to Elena, believe as well, like the time when people are signing up and they're onboarding through your product is probably the most attention they're ever going to give to your product or service and the most patience they're going to have with getting through it. So if you're trying to rush them through the door to get them to sort of that wow moment or that aha moment as fast as possible, but you're leaving out valuable steps that are going to enable them to actually get use out of the product and continued use, then you're losing out as well. So it's not only about optimizing like to get to that aha moment, but making sure that people have an understanding of how to actually use your product. So Segment themselves, they realize this, that although they had reduced friction initially to try and get as many people through the door, once people were through the door, they didn't really have a good understanding of how to use the product. They potentially set the product up incorrectly, which ultimately maybe even created more problems for the end users and ultimately ended up churning. So they laid in a step where they forced their customers to actually sit down with the customer success rep to build out a tracking plan, which is essential to any good tracking in an organization. And then they ended up actually seeing like a really, really good increase in terms of the customer retention, the adoption of the tool, and the overall customer satisfaction, really. So something that might be a little bit counterintuitive of adding friction to the onboarding actually increased retention and customer satisfaction ultimately.
When we come back in just a moment, Andrew shares lessons he's learned from chatting with over 50 marketers from HubSpot, Wistia, Basecamp, and more on how they tackle churn at their companies. Before we do, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, Referral Rock. Everyone knows how powerful word of mouth can be for a business. So what's the problem? Largely, word of mouth is unpredictable. One week you can get a bunch of new customers through referrals. The next week, it's crickets. For most businesses, it's like trying to catch lightning in a bottle. Referral Lock makes designing and running a referral program easy for any businesses, not just e-commerce. Their software can even integrate with the leading CRMs like Salesforce and HubSpot, feeding referrals to your sales team. Now, let's be real. Not all businesses are run with a website checkout page. In fact, you can run a referral program with no website and zero integration. How's that possible? Marketer can run a proof of concept with zero help needed from any other teams. How's that for a quick growth experiment? Don't worry, you don't have to be a seasoned marketer to use Referral Rock. Every account comes with a dedicated customer success manager that can help you put all the best practices in place that fits your business. Find out more at referralrock.com/growth today to start a free trial or get a consultative demo. You can find that link in the description of the show as well. Referral Lock is kind enough to offer a $500 credit to a Growth Marketer Today subscriber. So all you have to do is sign up for the Growth Today email list and you'll be entered in that drawing. And I'll pick the winner at the end of February 2020. If you don't like ads like this, you can also sponsor me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode. Not only will you get an ad-free version of this podcast, you get it a day before everybody else. And also you'll be part of a private Slack group where I'm there. You can ask me any questions or just say hi, or you can also do a monthly video call with me. So you can check that out at patreon.com/growtoday or find that link in the description or at the website. Well, enough about this. Let's jump back into my chat with Andrew. That's interesting. That's almost like the superhuman, the email app. Their tactic is like you can't actually onboard on. You actually have to talk to somebody. And they're saying no to people. Like they're saying no to people who doesn't fit and they can't actually serve, which is really interesting. I mean, you've also talked to, you know, over 35, I'm sure there's more now, 35 marketers and founders about the churn problem. Can you highlight any other advice that really like sticks out for you from your past guests?
Yeah. So yeah, as you're right, it's close to 50 plus now, I think, going in. And it's still, it's every time I'm learning something new episode. So I think, like additional advice, I think like one I mentioned it previously is alignment is really, really critical. Needs to come from the top down. We touched a little bit on onboarding. So this is a very big central theme as well. Onboarding comes up a lot of how important, how critical it is to maximize that time and to make sure you're getting your customers to value. And then another one, which is quite surprising, I think it only happened in around episode 20, but then it was a consistent theme thereafter as well, is that and typically where companies, where they're average selling price or ARPA is 20,000 plus per year. What you typically see is like a big, big reason for churn is when the customer champion leaves. So the person who was responsible for first finding their product or service and then trying to get the organization to purchase it, if that person leaves the company, that raises a big risk for that company of potentially losing them. And some of the best companies are solving this in different ways. And one of those is really trying to increase the number of champions that they have within an organization. So at SignUp, it's not only about just making sure that one person is getting value, but trying to find out and understand who else they should be speaking to within the organization and who else could become a potential champion for their product and an ambassador internally. So I'd say that's another very big area where which has come up and I find it very, very interesting.
That's really fascinating with that. I guess like, you did mention how the different value or the company size or their target audience really depends on how you're going to target churn. You know, let's talk about product-led growth and how that relates to churn. Like that's a big buzzword. Like how do you see product-led growth as fitting into trying to reduce churn overall?
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally agree. Like it is a big buzzword at this point in time. Product-led growth. And for me, it's just good business and it just makes sense. So I think you can call it what you want, but ultimately allowing people to understand the value of your product before they purchase is going to be a big one when it comes to churn and retention. So we see it time and again. I think recently in ProfitWell's churn study, what they took a look at was that freemium has a marked impact on retention overall and just really allowing people to sort of establish that value prop and experience your product before trying to get them to buy is definitely going to be a big, powerful lever for growth because it impacts sort of the number of people that can sign up for your tool or service. If we're looking at sort of 40% the average SaaS business coming from word of mouth new signups, that sort of encourages and amplifies that word of mouth because now you have more people able to try the product, more people able to start talking about it and start sharing it. So definitely like when we think about product-led growth, it has a big impact. But again, I'd say on your side, like it is a buzzword currently, and I think it just makes perfect business sense. It's nothing really new. It's just being categorized and framed in a new way.
I want to take one step back and talk about, you know, let's say a marketer or somebody working at a company and the message from the top of the leadership, like the founders or the VPs or whatever, is just acquire, just you know, acquisition. It's all focused on that. How would you suggest that person can kind of champion and cheerlead? You know, we need to take a look at our retention and start measuring there and really start presenting it as something that the company should kind of put some effort in?
So I think a first step would be obviously just to make sure that you do have a churn or retention problem. So it would be to take a good look at the current retention curves that you have, trying to understand, is there a specific segment that's performing particularly well or bad? And really just try to have a good understanding. If you yourself then understand that you currently do have a problem and you need reasons to take back to the exec or to VP on why you should be focusing more, I'd say there's falls typically into maybe four categories. So the first one is it really helps drive acquisition itself from the perspective of the more customers that you keep the longer they stay around with you, the higher the LTV is, meaning that you'd have more money to invest to acquire new customers. So essentially what that means is if you're earning more money per customer that you acquire, you can spend more money to acquire customers, which then it ultimately gives you some competitive muscle when it comes to paid media, because you can afford to spend more money in channels where other competitors potentially can't. And you end up being able to force out your competitors there. The second point, I think, as well, that's really important from a marketer's perspective is that it also accelerates the payback period, meaning that if you've put out an investment to acquire users and you have more users sticking around per month for longer, that means that you're getting more money back quicker. So if more companies, like customers, sign up in a month two, you have more companies that are with you than previous, that means you have more money coming in than previous for the same amount of money spent, and ultimately giving you more money back in your pocket to be able to spend faster. And then lastly as well, then it really does drive monetization as well and growth. So when you think as well, like from the, again, I'm going to repeat it, but 40% typically of growth comes from word of mouth in SaaS businesses. The more people you have around, you've got more people talking about it. And the more they're using your product, again, the more you'll be able to monetize on that product. So it really is a powerful lever in multiple different levels. And really, like from the exec perspective or from the VP's perspective, understanding that, okay, we can go out and acquire users, but spending the money on retention and being able to retain users a lot faster is also a compounding effect. So it's every future cohort that we're going to be acquiring, if we're keeping more of those future customers, it's just going to be compounding over time. So then when we start to really double down on growth and really double down on acquiring new customers, we're also then having that amplified compounding effect.
The other thing that I found is, you know, typically people on the top, they think about money or the revenue. If, you know, one thing I've done is show to them the revenue impact of what churn is resulting. And that's when the leaders are like, oh, dang, we're losing that much per month in terms of revenue.
Absolutely. It's a very simple thing to show as well. And I think another one, I think maybe for us even at Hotshot, was sort of like a awakening and realizing, okay, we really need to double down and focus our efforts on retention, was just doing a simple growth ceiling. And it can be calculated as well by your current churn rate and your current acquisition rate. And at some point, you're going to hit a ceiling in terms of how fast your company can grow and to what level it's going to hit. And that sort of like gives you an indication like, okay, when does growth start stalling? Is it 1 month, 6 months, 12 months, 24? Obviously, the longer that period, the better, and the lower your churn is going to be. But more often than not, it's sort of like an awakening within a company like, okay, this is serious. We really need to now focus on the problem at hand. So even just a quick model out and showing the organization and showing the exec team that's okay, at this point we're going to stop growing no matter how much more customers we do acquire, because churn has become such a big problem for us.
I want to talk about that, about the kind of initiatives that you and people at Hotjar are doing to focus on fixing, you know, solving or optimizing for retention.
So at Hotjar, we did a lot. And I think like one of the things that we did was really, first of all, trying to align the organization around the problem and get everybody thinking about churn and retention through the lens of their different departments and teams that they were focused on, which really sort of had that compounding and amplifying effect. When we think about marketing, for example, of really trying to make sure that we're acquiring the right customers, we classifying our ideal customer profile and defining that based on customers who had stuck around with us for more than 9 months, and really trying to look at, okay, what does that profile look like? What are the demographics? Who are these people and how can we acquire more of them? So from marketing's perspective, that was really about trying to identify this ideal customer profile, trying to make sure we acquire more people and trying to make sure that we position ourselves in a way that these people understand and it's clear to them, and they can also then not overpromise and underdeliver on the product side. And then once we had from the ideal customer profile, that really helps product to understand, okay, how do we start to prioritize and identify what features to build next, what tools we need to build next, or what tools we even maybe need to kill as a result of it, and what features need to be dropped. So from a product perspective, things become easier. We also spend some time as well looking at churn exit surveys. So really trying to understand what are the main reasons for churn, trying to classify that and take a look at it holistically. We also use NPS quite a bit internally. So really trying trying to identify like what is driving the protractors or the detractors, what are some of the main pain points our customers are currently experiencing, and bringing all that information together, as well as then going out and speaking to some of our most successful customers too, and trying to understand what are the main drivers that make them work and make Hotjar successful for them, so that ultimately we can feed that information back into product or into customer success and even support.
That's so good. That's a lot of things. How long was that time period when all of that happened?
Yeah, so I mean, it's an ongoing process and it never stops. I think for us to get aligned and to get organized was probably around 3 to 6 months when we really got into the full swing of things, from like deciding, okay, let's make this a company-wide effort. Let's make sure we align ourselves around these goals. And it took us around 3 to 6 months, I think, before like we all sort of got into the swing of things. And I'd even say still today, I don't even think we realized we did it. So I think like we just went into this mode and then we sort of, it became a part of the culture and a part of the thinking, as opposed to something that we were trying to solve for. So it was just ingrained in everything we did, really trying to think about, okay, like how is this going to impact retention? How is this new feature going to impact it? Or how is this new campaign going to impact it? As opposed to sort of, okay, this is a problem, we need to fix it. It just became, this is something that's core to our business and we need to be thinking about it constantly.
Right. And I'm curious, who is championing retention or churn for Hotjar? Is there one specific person, or is it, you know, somebody from the leadership, like it's like, oh, we need to fix this, and they're really like trying to gather everybody from the other departments to fix it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, initially, I would say definitely I was a big champion for this. having experienced it as a problem myself in the past and going through it. But from the founder's perspective as well, I think, and the exec team, they're all definitely very much aware that this was a big problem, and themselves are all championing. So I didn't really require much championing because it was coming from the top down, but just having that awareness and having that education for the team as well, I think was important, because this was a problem that we maybe made a mistake in the beginning where we were talking about it a lot and calling it a problem, but not really giving any direction or guidance of how to solve it.
I want to shift gears and actually talk about podcasting. I'm curious for you personally, like how has podcasting helped you, like whether that's in your career or relationships or whether that's through networking? What has podcasting done for you?
Yeah, it's been a really incredible journey. I think it was a little bit more difficult, I think, to begin with. But now that it's started to get momentum, it's getting more and more exciting. Definitely networking. It's been really, really cool to be able to meet and speak to so many interesting people on the topic. Selfishly, obviously, learning was just the number one thing I really wanted it for. Like I wanted to learn this problem inside and out. And it has sort of opened up opportunities, I guess, as well from an extent, but it's never really been a motivation. So I've often people reach out and see if they could sponsor the podcast, but it's not something I really particularly want to be doing, because I think like ultimately wasn't my goal. I really wanted to use a learning experience and focus on that. So yeah, networking and being able to meet interesting people, being able to learn about the problem, and then being able to transfer that knowledge and bring it back into the company has been, I think, something really, really powerful.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. Like for me, my success metric for the podcast is actually learning from people. Like that's how I would define what a successful episode is.
I like that.
And I totally agree. Like meeting, being able to like reach out to people that you wouldn't have guessed would talk to. You know, when you think about people who have done it, they've written books, you're like, oh, they're way up there and they would never talk to somebody so lowly as me, right?
Yeah.
And they actually agree to talk for an hour to pick their brain, and some of their hourly rates is very high.
I think you'd be surprised, and like people would be surprised. I think you know this by now, but how willing people are to speak to you when you just reach out. And I think the reason is like not many people actually do the reach out, because they think the way that you're just describing now is that why would they want to speak to me? But I think if you just reach out to people, like you'd be surprised how often people respond back and in a positive way as well.
I want to wrap up and ask you what your one piece of advice is for any marketers or founders who, whether that's in marketing or in career, or even if it's about churn.
It's going to be an extremely obvious one, but I think start thinking about churn and retention from day one. It's something that's overlooked and it can be easily masked. It is definitely a huge growth lever as well. And if you really think about building a business that's impacts and it's going to last like retention is going to be need to be the core of that business if you're running a subscription company. So don't delay it. Don't just take a look and say, okay, like growth is looking good, retention is not an issue, because if you really sit down to analyze it and trying to understand it deeply, you might be surprised by what you find. So make sure, like, when you start to build out the product and you start to get to some point where you have meaningful numbers that you can take a look at, that you include retention as one of those numbers that you're tracking and following, because ultimately it's going to help and see you succeed in the future.
That's a good place to wrap up. And just one final thing, what is your call to action to my listeners? Like, where can people find out more about your work and also about Hotjar?
Yeah, so if you're interested in hearing more and learning about the topic, Churn FM is the podcast for subscription economy pros. And each week we speak to a new guest and try to uncover and see how they're tackling the problem of churn and retention from their perspective. And it really is from different companies, from small SMBs to large enterprises and different stages of growth and different team members. So we speak to customer success, marketers, product managers, and really just trying to get that problem solved inside and out. And if you're interested in checking out Hotjar, it's hotjar.com. You'll see we're an analytics and feedback solution. We do things like heat maps, session recordings, and we really help you to sort of combine the qualitative and quantitative analysis to order to really understand your users and to get the behavioral insights that you're looking for that really help ultimately with growth and with the problems like churn and retention.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Emily. It was great chatting today.
Well, that's it for this episode. Let me share with you my three key takeaways. First, churn is a big problem, especially as your company scales. At some point, you're going to hit a ceiling in terms of how fast your company can grow and to what level it's going to hit. Second, it's much cheaper to retain existing customers as opposed to acquiring new ones. That's why reactivation campaigns can be really interesting. And third, if marketing's not bringing in the right customer to the door and they're just acquiring as many as possible, that's going to create a churn problem. Make sure you position your product in the best way possible and that you're not over-promising and under-delivering. Now, did I miss something? Share with me your takeaways from this episode. Love to hear from you. I love listening from my listeners. You can find me on Twitter at RamleyJohn or just send me an email, ramley@growtoday.fm. Before I end, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks helped cover the cost of hosting marketing tools so that I can continue to get amazing guests and experts that really you and I can learn from. So I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, Referral Rock. Once again, it's a SaaS that helps businesses like yours unlock all the referrals you are missing out on. So stop waiting for word of mouth to just happen while letting those precious referral opportunities go to waste. Find out more at referralrock.com/growtoday, or you can find the link in the description to start a free trial or get a consultative demo. I also want to let you know, if you don't like ads like this, you can get an ad-free version of this podcast. You also get each podcast episode a day before everybody else, have access to me in a private Slack group, and also have video AMA calls with me. If you'd like, go to patreon.com/growtoday to sponsor this show for as little as $2 per episode. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John, and as always, keep on growing.